You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. We've been talking a little bit this morning about how race has impacted this presidential election. We'd like your thoughts about that. Is it something that you discuss with your friends and families? Is it something you've given a lot of thought to? Give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTake at thetakeaway.org. The Public Radio International show, This American Life, has spent the last month in the ultimate political battleground state of Pennsylvania. The show's mission was to find out why both presidential candidates think they can win there and to meet some of the folks on the ground campaigning. I'm very pleased to welcome This American Life host and executive producer, Ira Glass. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning, Adora.
So does the McCain campaign know something that the polls don't? For weeks, Obama's been trending upward there in Pennsylvania, and the latest polls show him 11 points ahead.
11 points ahead, but remember, a week ago, he was 15 or 16 points ahead in many polls. And so what the McCain people say is this is one of the places in the country where he is tightening the race. They say we have the momentum on our side. And they say that they, in their private polling, that they see the gap as just being 7 or 8 points.
Okay. What did you find is happening there in Pennsylvania?
Well, it's interesting. The targets of opportunity for McCain are two areas. One is moderate voters in the suburbs around especially Philly, and there's a lot of people like that. But the other target, and this is really where they think they have a shot at the state, are Reagan Democrats, working-class Democrats, who went overwhelmingly for Hillary in the primary. Remember, Hillary won by 9 points in Pennsylvania, and a large part of that vote were these working-class voters. And so McCain has really targeted those people. In fact, one of our producers, Nancy Updike, went out with this group called Democrats for McCain, door to door in Scranton, which is an area like this. And she found that as they went door to door, the thing that struck her most was how just incredibly soft the support for Obama was there. It's almost like people were waiting for someone to come to the door. She especially, one of the most interesting scenes in her story, she goes door to door with these two African American Democrats from New York who were Hillary supporters, and they go door to door in this white working class neighborhood, and they basically say to people, look, I was for Hillary, you were for Hillary, here's why I'm voting for McCain. And to have a black person show up at your door and say, yeah, it's okay, you're not racist if you vote for the white guy, as Nancy says in her story, it's like she was releasing them. It's like they were releasing them from handcuffs, and people just really crumbled.
Releasing them from handcuffs. There certainly is a twist there.
You know, Ira, the question I would have for you, though, is does the McCain campaign have the resources to scale that kind of door-to-door operation with enough voters to actually make a difference if it's the kind of thing that they can find all over the state?
I mean, that's a real question. The Obama forces definitely have a better ground operation. They've got 80 field offices versus 50 for McCain. They've been in the state longer. It's a much more vigorous field operation. And what you're saying is a real question.
And 10 days just doesn't seem like a whole lot of time to make that much ground. I mean, what's your thought there, Ira, based on the reporting you guys did?
I mean, at that point, anybody's guessing. You know, I mean, nobody really knows. Both sides, you know, have their stance, but nobody knows how it'll play out over 10 days. Can I talk about another interesting thing we saw? Do we have another minute?
Absolutely.
One of the things that we heard about is there's a guy named Richard Trumka, who's the treasurer of the AFL-CIO, who's been going around giving this speech to unions about how unions have to confront the race question. And you can see this on YouTube. It's sort of a little YouTube sensation. It's been covered in the news. This is a very inspiring speech where he says, you know, we have to get in front of this. Many of our members aren't going to vote for a black guy. We have to confront them. Here's how you do it. He sort of demonstrates how to do it. And so one of our producers, Lisa Pollack, was curious to see if union people were really taking his advice. And she spent the last month basically tracking down union members to see, are you having these conversations? Are you confronting the question of race? And she found all sorts of people who said, yes, they absolutely are. She found a lot of union guys who said, like, you know, they've been more active campaigning for Obama with their own coworkers than they've been with anybody else. I'll play you a little clip. This is a guy who basically talks about one of his coworkers who simply said, like, I'm not going to vote for that guy. That guy is a black guy.
And he goes, well, dude, that's the way it is. You live your life. You see things the way you do, and I see things the way I do. I said, yeah, but Mike, you've got to get past this not only for this election, but with your life. I mean, you got to, you know, you work with black guys, you know, with several people that we know, and you know, you never have a problem with them. And he goes, well, they're, you know, they want the job. I've got to work with them. I kind of wish I hadn't gotten into this the way that I have because it's shown me sides of people that I've worked with and known for many years that I had no idea were like this.
Yeah.
Wow. It's kind of 12-stepping them out away from racism, it sounds like. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I think when Obama, started doing so well, it seemed possible that we would have a big national conversation about race, which really hasn't happened, except, I think, in settings like these, where people have taken it upon themselves one-on-one to talk to coworkers, friends, family about it. Like, that's the location where it's happening, I think.
Huh. So, days away, 10 days until the election, and Pennsylvania could very well be caught right in the center of how it all ends up.
Well, very much. I mean, and both sides are still gunning for it. McCain spent just a shocking amount of time in the state. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, especially given the fact that, I mean, he was there 3 or 4 times this past week. Hold on, I have a list here. I mean, it's like his wife is there, Palin is there. It's 3 or 4 times a week they're there. And what's interesting is that this is a state which went for Kerry in 2004. Basically, Democrats have won it for the last 4 elections. But with the electoral math, he needs Pennsylvania to win if he's going to lose some of these, usually reliably red states like Colorado and others.
Well, maybe as a backup, he could run for Senate in Pennsylvania if he stays there that long. He'd take up residency.
Hey, Ira, when does your special air?
It's this weekend all over the country.
Thank you very much, Ira Glass. It's been great to speak with you.
Nice to talk to you guys.
That's Ira Glass, This American Life host and the executive producer. And now we turn to Femi Oke, who's got the latest headlines for us.
Thanks, Adora. The time is just coming up to 20 minutes to the top of the hour.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.